and everyone in a contest abstains from all things, and they indeed to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable. I therefore so run as not without a purpose. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the gospel today, the owner in the vineyard is looking for people to work, and he finds a lot of people on the street doing absolutely nothing. He puts them to work and gives them the same pay as the people who worked many hours prior in the heat of the day. When I usually read this, I usually am reminded of a deathbed conversion, because as long as we apply this to the analogy of the gift of eternal life, what Jesus is saying is those who show up the last minute can still receive this full wage of eternal life. Jesus doesn't get into the different levels of glory in heaven in this, but I think we can definitely apply this to deathbed conversion. There may be many deathbed conversions, but normally we live as we die and we die as we live. I've only seen one with my eyes, one deathbed conversion with my eyes. When I was a deacon, I was actually visiting Florida, and I went into the home of an older man dying of cancer. He had never been baptized, actually, and he was mocking the faith when I walked in. And within an hour, he was begging for baptism. And I baptized him. He died 9 days later. But I think more than what I said to him was actually the fact that his grandkids said a Divine Mercy chaplet every single day for his conversion for a couple years. His grandkids were not very old, and they did one every year. And so all that kicked in, all that grace kicked in when I walked into that little room, that little house in Florida that day. Actually, he was baptized at 3 p.m., the mercy hour. Just as a quick aside, why are children's prayers so powerful? I don't think it's only because children are pure, but I think it's also because they're simple. St. Francis Xavier would beg children for prayers for his own missions. In fact, Francis Xavier would actually send these little Indian kids he had just baptized, 8, 9, 10 years old, to go back into these Indian hospitals and raise up the sick and the dying. And miracles would even happen because they believed so much in the gospel they had just heard from Francis Xavier that they were raised up. Well, another message today, I think, besides deathbed conversion is this. When I was meditating on today's gospel of the vineyard and the person come in the last minute, what I get from it is this. It's not too late to start an intensely Christian life. I think the number one discouragement that we adults hear in our lives in the spiritual life is that it's too late to begin an intensely Christian life. Now, we hear people say all the time, do you want to be a saint? And that's become so overused as to become trite. But in all honesty, it's still the best question. Do you want to be a saint? Or just better than your brother? I guess we could start with, could I really pray more and love more? Well, in the gospel today, it's the 11th hour, and we look at that and we say, I'm tired, Lord. It's the 11th hour of our lives, and we know that human habits are deeply ingrained. When we're lazy and go into a sprint, we hurt ourselves, we tell the Lord. Well, today is Septuagesima Sunday. It means 70 days out from Easter. Notice the church is already in purple. The traditional Latin Mass calendar has us in purple because it's the warm-up for the big race. Did you hear the epistle today? It's all about running the race. Well, the reason we're already in purple, what does this teach us? This teaches us that penance begins today. The race to obtain Christ begins today. This is the warm-up period when we start to say, I need to get back in shape in my religious habits, in my pursuit of Christ. And it's not Pelagianism, it's not earning your way to heaven, it's taking Christ's hand because he wants to run with us. We could complain that we have to have a longer Lent than those on the new calendar. But today is Septuagesima Sunday, 70 days from Easter. As I said, it's a warm-up period. Listen to the gospel again. But about the 11th hour, the Lord of the vineyard went out and found others standing and saith to them, why do you stand here all day idle? They said to him, because nobody hired us. He said to them, go into my vineyard. So at the 11th hour, I think each of us has two excuses that we can often make in the spiritual life. Two excuses that keep us from growing in faith and hope and love, which is the ultimate goal on earth once we've been baptized. The first is this, pride. We already think that we're doing more than the average Catholic, so we can just sit on our laurels. or to sloth. This is sorrow at a spiritual good. We know there's saints out there. We know we're receiving the same sacraments as them. But we just have a sadness at what it would cost us to run the race. It's basically this. I know there's saints. I know there's enough grace. But I'm just too tired. That's why I believe the church gives us this reading during Septuagesima season. It's a warm-up season before the big leagues. Yes, it's true. If you just jump into a marathon, you get hurt. Today's the warm-up period. Yes, it is the 11th hour of our life. It seems too late in our lives to change our lives. It seems too late in the church's life to change things. The message of today's gospel is it's not too late. Because look at what happens in the vineyard in the 11th hour. They are paid a full wage. They're paid a full wage for getting their act together that late in the game. This is preseason to say, are you going to take Lent seriously? One of our parishioners told me about, on Friday, something called Nineveh 90, and I did some research on the website of Father Richard Heilman. Well, it's a 90-day fast to ask God to convert ourselves and convert the world. And the reason he gives for this is because Mary and Fatima asked for three things: penance, penance, and penance, because of the state of the world. So Father Richard Heilman and his friends, I think he's the one who wrote it, but there's a lot of people joining in. I heard over 6,000 people are joining this. It's these 10 things is what people are starting tomorrow. And I don't know if Father Richard Heilman is on the new calendar or the old calendar, but I think it's interesting that he's writing to mostly Novus Ordo Catholics for a 90-day fast of penance and prayer. And I'm going to tell you these 10 things, and I'll be honest, I'm not going to do all of these, but I want you to hear what several thousand people are doing. Number one, for these 90 days, resolve to let go of repetitive sin you struggle with. That includes any impurity with yourself, any overeating, any alcohol. Number two, wear the brown scapular. The scapular medal is allowed. He compares this to sackcloth, actually. Three, daily mass. Father Richard puts in parentheses, this is more of an encouragement, as many cannot do this. Number four, confession, at least once a month, immediately following grave sin. Or such to say, immediately following grave sin. Number five, support system. Create or join a Nineveh 90 squad of 3 to 8 people. Meet 1 to 3 times a week, in person or online. Join together with an accountability buddy. Meet daily or at least 3 times a week. Number 6 of 10, daily prayer includes morning offering, Angelus at 6, noon, and 6, daily rosary at least 5 decades, and a holy hour at least 20 minutes, doesn't have to be before the Blessed Sacrament, at least in a favorite prayer space, and finally bedtime prayers. Number 7 of 10, for 90 days commit to regular and intense exercise, 7 hours of sleep, no alcohol, no desserts or sweets, no eating between meals, no soda or sweetened sweets, no television or movies, only music that lifts the soul to God, no televised sports, limit recreational computer time. Number 8, the 54-day rosary novena. Number 9, the 33-day preparation for consecration to end on May 12th. And the preparation ends on May 12th, and then number 10 is the Marian consecration that ends on May 13th. That's the 100th anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima. Now, there's several thousand people signed up for this. And again, I'm not going to do all those, but I'll tell you, it's a knock to my pride to hear how many people are doing that. Or maybe it's a knock to my sloth to hear that. To say it's time to accelerate if you actually care about the life of the world. And let me add, kids, please do not do any of these without the permission of your parents. You're under 18. But why are so many people signed up for this right now? Father Richard Heilman gives the answer of Nineveh and Fatima. What happened in Nineveh in the Old Testament? It was a huge city, very unlikely to convert. And I should have looked this up. I'm pretty sure it's the prophet Jonah. He crosses it. He preaches it just half-heartedly because he really doesn't love this city very much. And they convert. Well, he's comparing this to the world. Father Richard Heilman is comparing this to the world. The world may not want to convert. The world may not seem like it is ready to convert. But the message for us is this. If we answer God by prayer and penance, He can change the hearts of kings. Also, I should mention that even St. Thomas Aquinas gives certain get-out-of-jail-free cards for from fasting due to health issues. And, of course, the Code of Canon Law dispenses the pregnant from fasting, too. But I should also notice there's this tradition. This isn't just kind of a priest going off the rails in an encouragement to his online followers. The Byzantine Catholic Church, that's the Eastern Catholic Church, they do a very intense fast for all 40 days, which is no meat, no fish, no oil, no dairy. But it's interesting, they actually have a warm-up period too. Next week starts Meat Fair Sunday for all Byzantine Catholics, which is no meat starts next week. And in 2 weeks, they start what's called Cheese Fair Sunday, and that's the end of all their dairy. Very difficult fast. And then once Ash Wednesday starts, that's the 40 days of no meat, no fish, no oil, no dairy. Nineveh 90, or the Byzantine fast, it's not Pelagianism. Remember, Pelagianism is earning your way to heaven. It all comes back to St. Paul today in the first epistle. Do you not know that those who run in a race all indeed run, but one receives the prize? So run as to obtain it. And everyone in a contest abstains from all things, and they indeed to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable. I therefore run as not without a purpose. I so fight as not beating the air, but I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, lest perhaps after preaching to others, I myself should be rejected. So listen, very serious things are happening in the world. I very much believe it's different from any time in history. People always correct me and say, oh, times have always been bad. Just the instrumentation is different. No, any student of church history, any student of world history knows that these times are unlike any others. Just by the sheer magnitude of people who've been killed by their own governments in the 20th century, who've been killed by contraception and abortion and trafficking in the 21st century. Just the sheer magnitude of numbers outdoes any century of world history. I think that's why Father Richard Heilman promotes this Nineveh 90 and the 100 years of Fatima. I'll actually put both those links on my blog. So anyway, of those 10 things that he proposes, maybe you feel called to just do some of those, or maybe if you're over 18, you want to try all of them. But today, the race begins, at least as a jog. Our Lady needs to offer to the Father more than ever what we, little, weak, but simple children, can bring her. Our prayers, sacrifices, penances, generosity, faith, hope, and love. This is for the conversion of our own hearts and the conversion of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.